Hey, this is Max from the Arkells, and you're listening to Underground Sports Philadelphia.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome into episode number 631 of Underground Sports Philadelphia, presented by the City of Vineland. It's KB coming at you from Underground Studios and joining me, like he always does, whenever I don't have inventory at the day job. It is the people's champ and the host with the most, the spin god, Mr. Patty Pitts.
Yes, the Renaissance man who always thinks he can. And you're captain of all things nonsensical. Back in the underground, it feels good. I do miss being in studio. I will have to say, it was fun spending a week down at Underground Studios. But I'm just happy to be back, ready to talk Philly sports, and let's just ride. Let's do it.
I am freshly back from Citizens Bank Park. I was down at the bank with CFO Margie, which CFO Margie just did some content at the bank, too, that you'll see on the socials.
We love
Phil's get a big-time win. We'll talk about their second consecutive sweep and how goddamn good this pitching staff has been over the past week or so. We'll talk Platinum Plunk standings because we got some new leaders in the clubhouse. And, of course, we'll look at the run differentials across Major League Baseball because we are run differential enthusiasts. Shout out to my guy, John Foley, who
very much
was bringing up run differential. And I was like, it's me. Hi. We're the problem. It's me.
Shout out
T-Swift. New album out. Shout out Taylor Swift. We'll also talk some NBA playoffs. Sixers drop game one to the Knicks. What it means for them moving forward in the series, Joel Embiid's knee, all that good stuff. We'll talk some NFL draft because it snuck up on us like
really
nobody's business. Draft on Thursday. And, of course, we'll talk Jalen Hurts just being a man of the people like he is and people wildly overreacting to somebody changing their profile picture. All of that plus whatever the hell else comes to mind. But before we get into all of that, make sure you guys are following us on the socials at Underground PHI. Got a new rundown for you guys. Ready? On Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads at Underground PHI, Facebook.com/UndergroundSportsPHI, Twitch.tv/UndergroundSportsPHI, and we are officially on LinkedIn. We have joined the LinkedIn party. That will be linked, no pun intended. Go follow us on LinkedIn. We're really like experimenting with being on there and seeing like what it can do for us, like from a company standpoint, and just testing the waters there. If anybody out there listening is well versed in LinkedIn, hit our line because we're not very familiar overall with how everything works, but we're testing the waters with it and seeing how it can help enhance our content and our audience and everything. So check us out on LinkedIn. Follow Pitsy on Twitter at @Pat_Pitts and at Pitsy35 on Instagram and Threads, where you can see Pitsy just absolutely throwing darts and shooting his shot with people on Threads.
I'm trying to bring smiles and humor to the world.
And the first thing I see is just a random person and it's you responding to them. And I'm just like, this fucking guy.
Dude, it was hilarious. It was a girl. It was a pretty woman walking down. No, she wasn't walking down the street. She was throwing a dart. Like, she was throwing a dart, really. And then I said, like, can you hit me on this route? It was like a corner post route. She's like, run it. So then I immediately threw in the Forrest Gump gif of him hitting that run in the route. I'm just trying to bring smiles to the universe, Kyle. That's really all I'm doing.
He's a runner. He's a track star. It is hilarious, though. Whenever I open Threads, it is you just shooting your shot at dude, most random of accounts that I have never heard of in my life.
Dude, they're even more randomer accounts that pop up on mine when I open it up, and I'm like, I'm just trying to like see some what's going on here, not like, hey, I'm single and in your area. Like, I don't need to, like, I don't need to know that. Like, just I want to see what's going on with the socks. Like,
you
I don't want to.
You just cut a promo for a new millennial dating app.
That's what I do.
Follow PitC35 on Instagram and Threads. You can follow me on Twitter at KBIZZL311, KBIZZLE11 on Instagram and Threads, and KB Underground on TikTok. And I mentioned this on a couple episodes ago. I made my own personal YouTube channel as well that I'm just like toying with and just getting them thoughts off, and very inspired by the morning meeting that John Boy does. But you can subscribe to that YouTube channel as well at Underground KB. Make sure you guys subscribe to the podcast feed on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast in audio form, but those two platforms in particular, because we get sent numbies and analytics about those two platforms and can see those statistics way more than a lot of the other platforms. So make sure you're subscribed on Apple and Spotify. Leave a 5-star rating and review. It really does help the show continue to grow, helps more people find Underground Sports Philadelphia as a whole. Pitsy, last time that I recorded, I was checking the charts, and we were within the top 200 on Apple Podcasts sports chart in Spain.
Mis amigos!
Number 191.
Oh, they love us. We're
cooking. So shout out to our listeners in Spain. But subscribe on Apple and Spotify. Leave a 5-star rating and review. And, of course, subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel, youtube.com/@Underground Sports Philadelphia. That is where you get full video episodes of this show twice a week, full video episodes of every show on our network, clips, shorts, live streams, including our live stream on Thursday night for the NFL Draft first round. We'll be live with a collection of characters, and some funny shit goes down on NFL draft streams, like Patty Pitts breaking the AJ Brown news. We're coming up on the anniversary of that.
We are actually coming up on the anniversary of that. Wow, what a time.
Oh, where Stephen McAvoy said that he was going to unalive himself if the Giants drafted Kayvon Thibodeau.
No, he did unalive himself, all right.
But yeah, we'll be live Thursday night with probably the typical live stream crew, myself, Stevie Mac, DJ, if he's not coaching, and if he is, he'll join later on because the first round always starts so fucking late. And of course, Patty Pitts. But that's where you get everything. YouTube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. Let's get to 800 subscribers before the end of this month. Like, let's make that happen. It's so doable. We're 37 subscribers away. I know there's 37 people out there who are not subscribed to the YouTube channel. Let's make that happen. And of course, guys, this show is presented by the City of Vineland, and the City of Vineland Municipal Calendar features city organized, city sponsored, and city affiliated events that are of public interest. Unfortunately, missed it, but Isaiah Pacheco's parade happened this weekend in the City of Vineland. It was a wild success from all the pictures and videos and things that I saw. So shout out to Pop, shout out to the City of Vineland for putting on a fantastic event. And the calendar, which is accessible at vinelandcity.org, is a good way for residents and visitors to build awareness, remain engaged with city government, and participate in local events. You can also follow the City of Vineland on social media via their Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube pages. And through these tools, you can stay connected to the community and get important announcements about programs and services offered by the city. Find the New Jersey, where it's always growing season. And big thank you to Security 21 Security Systems and Paul J. Gillespie Incorporated for their continued support of this podcast. Patty Pitts, the fightins are on fire.
They're in fuego.
They are doing the damn thing. And they have now won 6 in a row, 2 straight series sweeps. Pitching has been dominant. And we're going to talk Fightin' Phils. It's brought to you by our awesome merch partners at PHI Apparel Company, the best merch partners in the game. PHI Apparel Company has everything for you from the Eagles, the Phillies, the Flyers, the Sixers, the Union, and Underground Sports Philadelphia podcast merch, which if you're watching on the YouTubes, I've got my Underground hoodie on right now. It's so comfortable, kept me warm at CBP. Today was a little windy, a little cool. I had this on under the jersey, was perfectly good to go. You want to stand out in the crowd, whether you're going to the Wells Fargo Center when the Sixers come back to town for the playoffs, going to CBP, going to Subaru Park for the Union, and of course, you know, when bird season rolls around.
Want to have it for bird season.
You're going to be wanting to style and profile and stand out in the crowd. People will be asking, where'd you get that hoodie? Where'd you get that shirt? It's PHI Apparel Company. Go to phiapparel.co. Use code underground at checkout. You get 10% off any and all merch orders. Most effective and direct way to support everything we're doing here at Underground Sports Philadelphia. So go get your merch, phiapparel.co. Code underground, 10% off your merch orders. Pitts, I'm going to read the stat to you because it is truly a crazy, crazy stat. Like, to just like wrap your brain around how incredible the Phillies pitching staff has been over the last like week or so, pretty much the last like turn in the rotation. So before today's game, when Aaron Nola pitched an absolute gem, the last five starts by Phillies pitchers, that'd be Nola, Ranger Suarez, Christopher Sanchez, Spencer Turnbull, Zach Wheeler. 41 strikeouts and a 0.25 ERA.
That's
no Major League Baseball team in recorded history has had a five-game span where their starters have struck out so many batters and had such a low ERA doing it. That comes from OptiStats.
Wow, that's insane. Yeah, because 541, that's like 8 strikeouts per game.
Give 41 strikeouts, a .25 ER, 1/4 of a run.
That's wild.
And here is their stats over the last 6 games. This comes from good pal John Foley at 2008 Phils on Twitter. Covers the Phillies for PHLY. 44 and a third innings pitched, 22 hits, 3 earned runs, 8 walks, 48 strikeouts, a .61 ERA, and a .73 WHIP. These are the stat lines. Ready?
That's insane.
Aaron Nola got things going. 7 innings pitched, 4 hits, 1 earned run, 1 walk, 9 Ks. And we go to Ranger Suarez. 9 innings pitched. Complete game from Ranger Suarez. 7 hits, no earned runs, 1 walk, 8 Ks. Then we go to Christopher Sanchez. 6 innings pitched, 5 hits, no earned runs, 1 walk, 10 Ks. Then we go to Spencer Turnbull on Friday night. 7 innings pitched, 1 hit, no earned runs, 2 walks, 6 Ks. Then we go to Zach Wheeler on Saturday night. 7 and a third innings pitched, 1 hit, no earned runs, 2 walks, 8 Ks. And then we go to Aaron Nola today, Sunday, for the series sweep against the White Sox. 8 innings pitched, 4 hits, 2 earned runs, 1 walk, 7 Ks. Yeah, absolutely, that's nuclear stuff from the Phillies rotation.
They're just finding the zone. By what you're telling me with the strikeout numbers, like, they're just finding the zone. And I haven't been watching, so all I can see is they either are making them swing or making them pretty much leave the bat on their shoulders.
Now, granted, the last 6 games they've played against the Colorado Rockies and the Chicago White Sox, 2 of, if not the 2 worst teams in baseball. Dude, but that's what you want to see your pitching staff do against bad teams. You want to see them absolutely dazzle and make those teams look like absolute fools. And that's what the Phillies did. They looked absolutely incredible on the mound. The bats have been alive. Trey Turner, I think, has a 10-game hitting streak now after his base hit today. Wow. He's been on fire. He's hitting like .352 for the season now. Johan Rojas, who everyone was calling to get demoted, sent down, this, that, and the third. Here's another fun boy math stat for you, Pitts. Johan Rojas, after April 6th, was hitting 0.45. That was his batting average. Since then, He has now brought his batting average up to a stunning mark. I don't know if you're ready for this. This is Johan Rojas' batting average.
I am sitting down. So
after today's game, Johan Rojas for your Philadelphia Phillies is now hitting for the season 264.
Wow, that's a big.
He's hitting over 400 in the last like 2.5 weeks.
Dude,
maybe just maybe you need to give the 23-year-old a little bit of leeway and let him find his groove.
Yeah, you need to just let him cook. I mean, it's so early in the season where he's going to be kind of having his slumps and ups.
He's hitting
and downs.
409 in his last 7 games.
Dude, like, that's – man's fighting the ball. I just – that's insane.
In his last 15 games, so last 2 weeks, he's hitting 311. He's finding his groove. He's not a power hitter, everybody.
How many extra base hits does he have?
On the season, Johan Rojas extra base hits. Good question. Let's see. 2024. He's got 2 doubles this season, and that is all your extra base hits.
Oh, so he's just getting on base.
Getting singles, he's getting on
base. No, he's just getting on base.
Making it work. And he's fast. He can steal bases. He stole base today.
The thing is, yeah, he doesn't need the extra base.
He's finding his groove. And, like, you don't need Johan Rojas to be hitting 300. He's not that type of hitter. But if you have Johan Rojas as your number 9 hitter, hitting anywhere from, like, 250 to, like, 260 at the peak, you're sitting pretty.
That's you're giving yourself because a
you're
chance.
Setting the bottom of the lineup up for success, where right now your 7 through 9 hitters are Nick Castellanos, Bryson Stott, and Johan Rojas.
That's a good 1-2-3.
Where right now your entire like you're going Schwarber, Trey Turner, Bryce Harper, JT Realmuto, Alec Bohm, Brandon Marsh, Castellanos, Stott, Rojas.
Wow. They're
finding their groove. Alec Bohm went 3-for-4 today. He looked great at the plate. Marsh continues to hit and dazzle.
It's my dog. Like, that's my dude for the year. That's my dude of the season.
Dude, today he made an out, ran into the, like the padding in left field, thinking it was the final out of the inning, and it was only 2 outs. Rojas was like clowning him so hard, it was great.
I love when that happens.
But like this team, like this is like. What we tried to tell everybody after that Braves series to begin the season, like you lost 2 out of 3, you salvaged it at the end and won the final game. But we told you on this show, and I said it off pod, I tweeted it. Nobody's going to remember that Braves series until July when the Phillies play the Braves 4th of July weekend.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the way in April, we said was a very winnable schedule and the Phillies just had to take advantage of it. There was a blip on the radar where you lost 2 out of 3 to Cincinnati. Fine. There was weather involved. It happens. You split with the Pirates. You could have won 3 out of 4, but hey, you take a split when you can, and you made it work. But since then, you were 8-8. Now you're 14-8, 6 games over .500. The last time the Phillies were 5 games over .500 at this point in the season was in 2019.
Don't boy math me.
They're now 6 games over .500 at this point in the season. I don't know when the last time that was. Like everything is clicking right now. You haven't had to use your bullpen in the last week, really, which has been fantastic. You know, when you're getting set to go on a 10-game road trip now after a 10-game homestand, to have your bullpen fully rested is a godsend when you're going 4 games in Cincinnati and then going to the West Coast.
Yeah.
Like, everything is going really well for the Phillies right now, and it's awesome to see. You're keeping pace because somehow, some way, the Mets are finding voodoo magic ways to beat the Dodgers, which is just hilarious in and of itself. And then the Braves, who always have voodoo magic, just are continuing to find ways to win. But right now, as we're recording this, the Braves are playing Sunday Night Baseball, so their game's not final by the time you guys are listening to this. But after the Phillies win today and being 14-8, they have the same wins total as the Atlanta Braves right now. The Phillies have just played more games, so they have more losses. But the Phillies and Braves, as of this recording, both have 14 wins.
Yeah, it's perfect.
They're a game and a half back in the division.
Yeah, dude, we're about to exit April into May. You just want to be at the 1-2, maybe 3, whatever position in the standings to know, all right, this is where we have to be come moving forward. I love it.
Like, oh, and the Dodgers blew out the Mets 10-0 today. So the Mets drop a game, which helps the Phillies, gives them a little more breathing room behind them because the Mets have just been
on fire
for some reason. But right now the Phillies are 14-8. The Braves are 14-5. Like, you're right there. Both teams are 8-2 in their last 10. They've both won 6 in a row. I mean, the Phillies are just playing incredible baseball right now, and this all comes after that dope, as he likes to use, Howard Eskin from WIP, tried to question Rob Thompson in the offense and then tried to take a victory lap after the Phillies' offense fell flat against the Pirates in one game. Rob Thompson said, we're going to slug. Look at what they're doing, boys. They're hitting home runs. We had a Schwarbaum today for the Fanatics' birthday, setting off fireworks. Like, this team is playing very good baseball right now. It's fun to watch good April baseball from this team because typically they traditionally start slow.
Mm-hmm.
And to see them right now 6 games over 500 shows that, like, they're learning from past mistakes over the past 2 years when they've started slow. What do we have to do to take advantage here? I even think 2 years ago, the Phillies probably don't sweep either of these series. Just because they're learning to win together as a team, they're trying to figure things out early in the season. They're doing that now. They're pitching unbelievably well. And I'm just excited for where this team can go heading into May. You know, you still have a decent chunk of your April schedule left with this 10-game road trip where you're going to Cincinnati for 4, a very winnable series. I'll take 3 out of 4 from Cincinnati if you can get it. Then you go to San Diego, and then you go and visit Mike Trout and the Angels. Again,
two more
very winnable series.
That's a lot. That's a long trip.
Yeah. After a 10-game homestand, you get a 10-game road trip. But then you come back home and play the San Francisco Giants for 4, who have completely underperformed this season. And then you have the Toronto Blue Jays coming to town for 2. And then you go to Miami, have a home and home for 2 games each against the Mets, and then you're home against Washington, and then your real first, like, big time opponent since the Atlanta Braves comes to town when you take on the defending World Series champion Texas Rangers.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's your,
like,
biggest,
and that's the end of May. But even like going into May, into mid May, you have very winnable series that the Phillies can take advantage of here, and to compare that to your opponent that you're chasing in the division and going toe-to-toe with playoff positioning and everything, this is the Atlanta Braves schedule over that next stretch. So the rest of April, Braves have 1 more game against the Rangers tonight as we're recording this. Then they have Miami. They have a very hot Cleveland Guardians team coming to Atlanta who are 16-6 to start the year. Then they go to Seattle. They go to L.A. to play the Dodgers. Then they're home for 2 against your Boston Red Sox. Then they go to Citi Field for 3 to take on the Mets. Then they're home against the Cubs, home against the Padres. Then they go to Chicago for the Cubs, to Pittsburgh to take on a frisky Pittsburgh Pirates team. Then they're home for 4 against the Nationals. And then their final game in May and going into June is against the Oakland A's. But, you know, there's some frisky teams in there that hopefully can take advantage of the Braves. And the Phillies have an opportunity to, like, still be toe-in-toe with the Atlanta Braves when June rolls around.
Mm-hmm.
I think coming into the season, if you would have told anyone that, they would have asked, where do I sign?
Yeah, it's not bad. That's not a bad way to go into June, is being toe-in-toe with them. It's very possible with that schedule.
The Braves schedule, as the season goes on, gets a lot tougher. Like, they have Baltimore in Baltimore. They have Tampa Bay on the schedule. They have the Yankees, who are surprisingly good this year, on the schedule.
Yeah, they've been a problem.
So, I mean, like, there's going to be some games that, like, the Phillies can take advantage of here, and if they can still stay toe-and-toe with the Braves, like, nothing would make me laugh more than if the Phillies somehow found a way to win the NL East this year, win the division. They're a division winner, so then they get that break from the playoffs that the Braves have had the last 2 years. They face off with the Braves, and then the Phillies still win and take advantage of, I thought the break was the problem. I thought it was an issue being off for a week.
Yeah, it usually is, but
nothing
yeah.
would make oh, me man. Cackle more.
That would be icing on the cake.
Speaking of cake, great transition by you. Is the Fanatic's birthday today?
Oh, happy birthday. Dude, you told me Wally was there.
Wally was there. All the Philly mascots were there, both pro and collegiate. The White Sox mascot was there. The Tampa Bay Rays mascot was there. The Padres mascot was there. The Orioles mascot, the Tigers mascot. The Fanatic's mom was in attendance. Really fun stuff. The mascot stuff always cracks me up. Like, they just do such a good job with all of that. Okay. And, like, when you have the number one mascot in all of sports in the Fanatic, which I think universally every sports fan can kind of agree, the Fanatic is the best mascot just in terms of likability, in terms of antics, and just, like, historical.
I'd say top factors. Five like, out of all four. Out of all four?
He's incredible. And, like, they showed, like, baseball cards and, like, stats for every mascot. They showed Gritty's, and it was, like, residency. It was number two in your heart. And then when the Fanatics came up, it was number one in your heart. It was great. Like, they That's just did good. Such good stuff. Wally's, it showed his, like, height and weight, and weight said, prefer not to say.
That's incredible, dude. You don't have to. We don't shame.
They played mascot baseball, which was absolutely hysterical. A great group photo that MLB Cut 4 posted. Bryce got the Fanatic an awesome glove. Like, Bryce is the coolest friend ever.
He'd be a good friend.
Like, really just the coolest friend. Duo right there. I need a buddy cop, like, miniseries of Bryce Harper and the Fanatic together.
Dude, we should write that. I think, like, that would be...
They would put Limu Emu and Doug out of business.
Well, let's not talk shit about my dog, Doug and Limu Emu. I love them.
Bryce and the Fanatic, come on. They're running circles.
They could work together. It would be incredible.
Solving crime together.
We need to write this show, Kyle.
Sang happy birthday to the Fanatic. It was good. It was just all-time great vibes. The Phillies, in the Fanatic's lifetime, are 34-12 on the Fanatic's birthday.
Good. So the Fanatic is so how old? He's 46,
allegedly.
Okay, 46 is the new 36. Really,
he's great. The Fanatic, I just love. Like, whenever I see the Fanatic, it just puts a smile on my face.
How can you not, dude?
He is the coolest mascot. Just, like, all-time, like, endorphin booster. Like, just makes you happy.
I'm trying to think of other legendary mascots that come to mind. Wally's up there. Wally's my dog. Oh, my God. I love Wally.
Like, I think the big three of mascots overall, it's in no order. It's the Fanatic, it's the San Diego Chicken, and it's the Phoenix Suns Gorilla.
How can you not have Wally the Green Monster on that list?
I'm saying the top three. Like, the like universally, those three are, like, I think globally the most, like, recognized. You left out
Wally the Green Monster.
He's not that old.
Everyone knows Wally. He was on an ESPN commercial. It doesn't matter if he's old. I know. That's why the Fanatic's in the top three.
Fanatic is goat. I mean, I think if you put... Because I think if you put a poll out, like, the three that I mentioned would be, like, the three most, like, brought up just in terms of, like, iconic.
Who's the San Diego Chicken?
Are you kidding? The San Diego Chicken is, like, an iconic mascot.
I've never seen the San Diego. What are we talking about? That's why I'm, like, he put a chicken before Wally. I'm, like,
the San Diego Chicken was the Padres mascot before they got, like, the swinging fryer.
The monk? Mascot.
Yeah. He's, like, all time.
Well, what's the chicken with, like, a Padre? What? That makes no sense.
He's kind of, like, retired, but he's, like, in the mascot Hall of Fame and, like, widely regarded as, like,
never
a Hall of Fame mascot. But I think the Fanatic would walk up and pull a Kendrick Lamar and say, man, motherfuck the big three. It's just big me.
That is not the phrase I thought was going to come out of your mouth right now. I just was really not That was bars, but like not bars. I did not expect that. You're gonna have to give me a second.
But it was a great time. I always love the Fanatics birthday. It's like one of the cool games to go to, and I love that it's part of my season ticket package. Just an all time like good energy, good vibes, like day at the ballpark, win, lose, or draw, even though there's no draws in baseball. But 34-12 on the Fanatics birthday now, which is a great record. We always got to, now that's something to keep in our back pockets, see when the Phillies are playing Fanatics birthday, you got to bet on the Phils.
That's, yeah, that's good data.
That's good boy math. Gambling.
That is good boy math.
That's boy math gambling right there. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the Phillies are playing great baseball, good vibes at the park today. And now they get set for a 10-game road trip where, you know, this weekend I'm going to be injecting caffeine into my bloodstream. Because they're playing in California. But I just feel really good about where this team is right now. And that's fun. Like, to know this early that this team is like still where you expect them to be, and they're kind of surpassing kind of early season expectations in a lot of categories, is great. And just hope the pitching keeps rolling, the bats keep coming to life, and like they're doing this where like Bryce Harper is not even like Bryce Harper right now. They're doing this when like Nick Castellanos has not found his groove whatsoever yet. Like, he's had a couple games here and there, but like he's not locked in yet. Bryson Stott has not found his groove yet. Like, they're doing all of this despite not having their offense performing at full capacity. And that's also like a good sign.
That is a good sign. You don't need them right now and you can win. That shows that when it comes time that they need to win, you have guys that can step up in those big moments.
And I got to say, Pitsy, this White Sox team might be the worst team I've ever seen.
Yeah, dude, they used to be fun to watch, and they now I don't so hear bad. Anything. No one is talking about the White
Fundamentally,
Sox.
They are 3-18 this year.
Oh my God.
I was telling CFO Margie while we were at the game, I was like, imagine being a White Sox fan. I wouldn't know what to do with myself. Three wins? Three?
Yeah, like, what do you do? Like,
how do you function? Like, your season's over already.
I know. That's insane.
Three wins. It's great. Like, fundamentally, they play horrific baseball. They have like two good players on their team.
Yeah, is Tim Anderson one of them?
No, he's with the Marlins now.
Oh, it's even worse, dude. He was like a silver slugger.
It's Eloy and Luis Robert. And Luis Robert's out injured right now.
What the fuck is Eloy?
So Eloy Jimenez.
Okay, that's okay.
He's a stud. He had a home run today, so it's kind of cool to see Eloy like actually like
perform. Eloy.
But he needs a new number. He needs to get traded at the trade deadline, because there's no reason somebody as talented as Eloy Jimenez should be wearing number 74.
Ew,
it's gross.
Ew. what is he, a defenseman? Like,
it's terrible.
That's so yucky.
It's gross. It's a blue line defenseman.
Yeah, and like a big one at that.
It's like a goon.
Yes.
It's terrible. 100%. Oh my God. Pitsy, let's get to everybody's favorite segment, our baseball stats and info section of the show with run differentials and the Platinum Plunk. It's brought to you by our pals over at FOCO, the best in the game. Shout out to FOCO. Garrett Stubb just did a whole photo shoot on his Instagram posting all the Phillies shortalls. It's great being teammates with Garrett Stubbs. We got to get Garrett Stubbs on this show. Because Team FOCO for life, baby. And FOCO is the place to go, bars, for your forever collectibles when it comes to officially licensed Major League Baseball, NBA, NFL, NHL, WWE, you know, your favorite shows growing up, 90s Nickelodeon, they got it. College football, college basketball, they've got everything you can think of. Click the link in the description and support our pals over at FOCO. Support the pod. When you guys click that link, it supports us and helps us continue to do awesome things, and allows FOCO to see that like they want to continue partnering with us. So please click that link, get something from FOCO, and you know, shout out to FOCO for supporting and sponsoring the goddamn pod. They're the best in the game. Pitsy, the NL East run differential, it's gotten a whole lot spicier since we've last talked.
Really?
We got three teams in the positives.
Wow.
That's people great. Are slugging. We will start with the 14-5 Atlanta Braves, who are 8-2 in their last 10, have won six in a row. What do you have their run
differential? We're going 55.
I'm gonna tell you to subtract a couple numbers because they are +37. +37 for the Braves. We go to the 14-8 our Philadelphia Phillies. Okay. 8-2 in their last 10, have won six in a row. Also in the positives.
Can I get them if they're more or less than the Braves?
They are less than the Braves.
Less than the Braves. Okay. I'm going to go with 28.
I wish. We're getting there, though. We're digging ourselves out of a hole. We're at +11.
Oh, okay.
+11. We're getting there. We've scored 96, given up 85. Okay. We're starting to come around. Then we go to the 12-9 Lowell New York Mets. They're 8-2 in their last 10. They were on a 5-game winning streak until today. Hottest division in baseball is the NL East. Their run differential, Petty.
They go like +8.
Close. They are also +11.
Oh, look at that.
They've scored 102 runs, given up 91. Then we go to the stolen franchise, the 10-11 Washington Nationals. They are 5-5 in their last 10. Sitting in the negatives, though.
Negative 11.
Pretty darn close there. Negative 9.
Oh, all right.
Then we go to the 6-17. Don't let them get hot. They've won one in a row. Miami Marlins. They are 4-6 in their last 10. Have given up the most runs in the division. Where do we have the Marlins?
Negative 15.
They are at a negative 38.
Oh, God.
Giving up 123 runs on the year. Have only scored 85.
That's terrible. But
not the worst run differential in baseball. We look around the rest of Major League Baseball. The Brewers at a +35. The Cubs at a +18. And the Reds at a +21. The 11-11 Pittsburgh Pirates at a -3. The St. Louis Cardinals at a -19.
Okay.
And then your NL West, the Dodgers at a +15. The Padres at a +8. The 11-12 Arizona Diamondbacks at a +28. The San Francisco Giants at a -21. And the 5-16 Colorado Rockies, who have given up 125 runs on the year, which is the most in baseball by one run. By one run. -47.
Oh, my God.
But that, Patty Pitts, is not the worst run differential in baseball.
How?
Looking around the American League, the New York Yankees at a +21, the Orioles at a +29, your Boston Red Sox at a +18,
love
Blue
it.
Blue Jays at -13, even though they're two games above 500, and then the Tampa Bay Rays, who are a game above 500, at a -18. The Cleveland Guardians with a whopping +52 run differential so far this season.
That's the highest, right?
That is the highest
in
all of baseball. The Kansas City Royals at 13-9 have a +38 run differential. Looking good so far in the early go for the Royals.
Bats are hot. Bats
the Detroit
hot.
Tigers at 12-10 have a +1 run differential. The Minnesota Twins are 7-13. They have a -25 run differential. And then your 3-18 Chicago White Sox have scored 45 runs this year and have surrendered 116.
Okay, is this the worst?
To give you a major league worst, -71 run differential.
Oh, Kyle. Oh, I think we have a new champion of the worst team this year. Last year was the A's. This year, I'm all in on the White Sox. It's going
to
be the White
Sox. It's time to start betting against the White Sox.
I'll do that. Wait, they played today. Yeah. We'll do that tomorrow.
Right. The AL West is the most, like, meh division this year so far. Really? Texas Rangers leading the division at 11-11. They have a +8 run differential. The Mariners at 10-11, a -5 run differential. The Angels 9-13 with a -17 run differential. The Oakland A's are 8-14 with a -37 run differential. And your basement dwellers in the AL West, get the trash cans, the Houston Trashtros, 7-16, have a -28 run differential and have given up the second most runs in baseball with 124. One run behind the Colorado Rockies, the Houston Astros.
The A's are better than the Astros this year?
By a game and a half.
Wow. Oh, how the mighty have
fallen. Astros have scored 96 runs, but they've given up 124.
That's insane, dude. What the hell is going on with their pitching staff?
Terrible.
That's insane. I would not have thought of that.
And they are... The Astros this year are 6-14 against teams above 500.
That's not good at all.
Bad.
That's bad, bro.
Bad.
It's bad, bro.
Yeah. Astros, more like Trashtros. So there's your run differentials. We are still on Rockies watch because they've given up 125, but we might be on Astros watch for seeing who can hit the 900 club for 900 runs surrendered.
What about the White Sox?
They haven't given up as much. They've only given up 116. Like, they're in that territory, but right now it's Rockies 125, Astros 124, Marlins 123. And then White Sox 116.
Okay.
They're getting there, but they haven't joined the derelicts.
Okay.
We're getting there, though. But those are your NL East and MLB run differentials. And then we take a look at the Platinum Plunk standings, which are
for new year.
Patty Pitts and I, going into the season, decided we are going to track the player or players and the overall teams who have the most hit by pitches this season in Major League Baseball. And we are handing out an award called the Platinum Plunk, which Pitts, we got some people joining. Our guy Andres Jimenez from the Cleveland Guardians, who has been plunked by 5 pitches this year. We have 2 other members who have now joined the 5 hit by pitch club.
Jeez.
It is Brendan Donovan of the St. Louis Cardinals and Andres Jimenez's teammate, Ramon Laureano of the Cleveland Guardians, also hit by 5 pitches.
Jesus.
And then we have 6 guys who have been hit by 4 pitches, including Chris Bryant, Mark Canha, Ryan Jeffers, that dweeb dork stuffed in a locker loser who pronounced cement, Brandon Nimmo.
Oh, I thought we were going McNeil.
Brandon Nimmo pronounced cement. What do you mean by that? Cement. What do you mean by that, Brandon Nimmo?
I think he's just he's got other things on his mind.
He's such a dweeb. I can't stand him. Matt Wallner and Jesse Winka also hit by 4 pitches this season. And trying to find our Philadelphia Phillies on the list. Last time we checked, it was Johan Rojas, still as the only member of the Fightin' Phils to have been hit by a pitch this season. And I believe it is still checking out to be Johan Rojas as the lone member of the Fightins to have been hit by a pitch this season. Yes, it is. It is just Johan Rojas. That is crazy. Phils are just working walks, not getting plunked.
That is actually insane. Because you have 2 guys are there with 5 on the same team.
On the same team.
And then you look at the Phillies and only
2 guys on the same team with 4.
Yeah, and the Phillies only have 1 dude who's just been plunked at all. Like, and that's just interesting. What are we, like, they just... So what does that mean for the Phillies? They're just working the count better? Like,
the Phillies are leading Major League Baseball in terms of fewest hit by pitches this season with 1. They are the least hit team by pitch this season. The most, though, team-wise, the team award right now still belongs to those Cleveland Guardians. They've been hit by a major league best 18 pitches this season. But right behind them is their own division mate in that AL West or AL Central. The Minnesota Twins have been hit by 17 pitches, followed by the St. Louis Cardinals with 14, the New York Mets with 13, and the Tampa Bay Rays and Washington Nationals both with 12.
I think of the AL Central as like the serial mascots of divisions. It's just a hodgepodge of nonsense.
Tony the Tiger.
Like, that's just such a weird Captain Crunch, the Cinnamon, and Apple.
Snap, Crackle, and Pop.
Rice Krispies.
That's what happens when they get hit by a pitch. That's the noise it makes.
There it is. That was good.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch, the chef.
Isn't that Chef Boyardee?
No, there was like a fat chef for Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Or like
was it really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just remember the squares.
Count Chocula, Frankenberry.
Frankenberry.
Sunny from Cocoa Puffs.
The Cookie Crisp.
Cookie Crisp. No, real ones remember the OG Cookie Crisp mascot. It was the fat little like brown dog before they changed it to the wolf.
I'm looking this up.
It'll spark a core memory for you. You're still in the age demo where you probably...
No, I know. I know, Paul. I'm in there. Cookie Crisp, old mascot.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, because... Oh, yeah.
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 Before they changed it to the wolf for optics. So it didn't make you think that Cookie Crisp got you fat.
Yeah, it's the... Yeah. Where?
It was the fat dog, and then they had the police officers.
Yeah, I remember this dude. Yeah,
elite mascot.
I remember him.
You got the Trix Rabbit, Lucky.
Oh, dude, the Trix Rabbit. It was a.
They're after me, Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Horseshoes and rainbows.
There's so many good cereal mascots. That was when advertising got its best, man.
The Honeycombs maniac.
Do I remember him? I don't think so.
The Honeycombs mascot? He's like a little like bear type thing.
Honeycomb mascot. Honeycomb. Because I used to strictly eat honeycomb. Oh my god, that fucking
He's a
thing.
Maniac. He's like a sleep paralysis demon.
No, that dude, that's like taking Ambien and having the wildest. And just your mind is not on this planet. He's terrifying.
You got Buzz from Cheerios.
Oh, he's a classic.
He's a classy motherfucker.
He really is. He's wholesome. Oh my god, no, get that thing off my screen. He's called Crazy Craving. Yeah. Do you ever watch Space Oddities?
Maybe.
Like on Hulu, you know that? Remember that like cartoon? With like the aliens from space or whatever.
Oh yeah, I didn't like watch it, but I
know. But you know, yeah, they had an episode. The first episodes, they were a fan of this thing called Fun Bucket, and that Crazy Craving thing looks identical to Fun Bucket.
Yeah.
Oh, Fun Bucket.
Real ones remember the Honeycombs mascot.
Yeah, they do.
Leave a comment in the YouTube comment section. Your favorite cereal mascot.
Yeah, I like to know that. There's so many interesting. Teddy Grahams?
Not Teddy Grahams. Golden Grahams, maybe?
Yes, the bear.
The tall, dark brown, like, bear that had, like, the
green
vest or whatever.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Leave a comment with your favorite cereal mascot in the YouTube comment section. League average right now for hit by pitches for a team is 9.
Wow.
That's the average. So we got... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We have 9 teams that are above average right now. Because on top of the Nationals and the Rays being tied at 12. The Rockies are at 11. The Braves and Blue Jays are at 10. And then average, the Orioles, the Angels are both at 9. Everyone else below. And then the Phillies are leading the way with the fewest hit by pitches. Just one. Uno más.
There we go.
Because the next closest for fewest is the Oakland A's with 4.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is a big jump.
So the Phillies are just doing a good job. Staying in the zone. Not getting hit. Staying healthy.
Love to see it.
That is the Platinum Plunk standings, team and player-wise. The Cleveland Guardians doing a damn good job being leaders in the clubhouse. Probably going to finish the month of April as your Plunks of the Month.
Plunk of the Month.
It's going to be the Guardians.
Off the tongue. Yeah, dude, they're just getting beanballed out of here.
Beam me up, Scotty.
Bean me up, Scotty.
So there's your fun underground stats brought to you by our pals over at FOCO. Let's shift to the hardwood. It's brought to you by our pals over at Kenwood Beer, the official beer partner of Underground Sports Philadelphia. It is a refreshing light beer, just 4.1% ABV, 120 calories, just 8 grams of carbs. Pitsy loves a nice cold Kenny.
Love a nice cold Kenny.
Loves a nice cold Kenny. You can enjoy a nice cold Kenny when you go to kenwoodbeer.com and use the Kenny Finder to see who's got Kenwood Beer on tap in the Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Maryland, and New Jersey areas. You can also get it at your local liquor stores in those markets. Also, check out the Kenny storefront on kenwoodbeer.com and check out the pint glasses, the awesome apparel that Kenwood Beer has. It's all elite, top-of-the-line stuff. Kenwoodbeer.com, must be 21 or older to do so. And of course, please drink responsibly. Sixers lose game one of the opening round of the NBA playoffs to the New York Knicks. Joel Embiid gets injured in the second quarter, comes back out after halftime, though. I saw a tweet that I apologize for not knowing off rip. I'll try to find who it is and put the tweet in post. Because a lot of people thought Joel's knee, like, exploded the way that he was just on the ground. And
his look. You see those eyes, dude?
Yeah.
Those eyes were
gone. A lot of very funny memes that I saw from that.
Obviously.
I saw one that a woman on Twitter posted that said, me waiting for him to get a towel. That just absolutely daggered me.
That just, oh man,
absolute scenes. Sixers lose 111-104. Joel comes, but I did see a tweet that showed a close up of Joel's knee when he was back out on the court, and there was like blood on his, either his sock or like his compression sleeve for his leg. And I think what happened was the brace that is on Joel's knee that he has been wearing, I think, is like a clunkier and like heavier brace. So when he came down after that unbelievable dunk, and he fell, I think the brace might have like cut him because of how heavy it is. And he was kind of just like in shock of feeling like the brace like hurt him.
Cut him.
Because there was a blood stain like on the compression sleeve near his knee. So I think that's what happened. And he was kind of just like in a state of shock, like, oh shit, like what happened?
Yeah, and he probably felt blood dripping down, and
yeah,
the brace was like, so he's like, I'm just gonna lay here.
And I also think that heavier brace contributed to him not being like as dominant and mobile in the paint, because the Sixers got absolutely bullied on rebounds by the Knicks. I think that played a part where like Joel couldn't like really get up off the floor too much after the first half. I'm wondering if they can get him a brace. Probably not until they come back to Philly. But if they can get him a brace that's like lighter and still keeps his knee like intact and like in a good positioning, but like that's lighter and more like pliable for him, I'm sure there's something. But I'm almost certain what happened was the brace cut him and that was the shock that he went into.
But isn't it crazy that in this day and age they didn't have something that was, you know, a little thinner?
I think they were playing it safe just because it's meniscus and he's had meniscus issues in the past. Mm. So I think they were just trying to be as cautious as possible. But, you know, at the end of the day, while Joel Embiid, when he's on the court, is the best player in this entire series, you need everyone else to contribute. And you didn't have everybody. There were spurts in this game where guys fell off and you needed them more than what you got from them. Tobias Harris was a complete nothing burger. Like, 31 minutes, 7 points from Harris. Like, he has just been so unbelievably bad this season. And it's to a point where, like, you almost need to, like, just not play him. He's that bad. Tyrese Maxey was incredible. 33 points in 44 minutes. Only thing I would like to see more from Maxey is just a little more on the assist and rebound numbers. Like, Tyrese can get up. He can go get the ball. Two rebounds isn't going to cut it in the playoffs from your 1A superstar. Because I think we can all agree, and I love my Villanova boys, but I put my Villanova fandom to the side in this series. When you look at it, though, Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey are the two best players on the court in this series. Like, Jalen Brunson, very, very good player. He's the third best player compared to Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid.
Yeah. Yeah, but he played really well yesterday.
Buddy Hield, complete nothing in this game. 0 points.
Big trade.
Just terrible. Kyle Lowry is unbelievable. I fucking love him. I've always loved him. And what a dog. Like, played 39 minutes, 18 points, hustled his absolute ass off in this game. Like, I saw Spike Eskin on the Rights to Ricky Sanchez said that somebody said we should sign Kyle Lowry to be the Sixers version of Udonis Haslam. Just, like, let him be on the bench. Let him be on the roster for the next 5 years.
He's a good vibes guy. Like, he's a good vibes guy.
He's a dog. And, like, I was skeptical about acquiring him just because of his age and, you know, the way that guys like Pat Bev were playing for this team earlier in the season. But, man, Kyle Lowry's fucking awesome, and I love that he's on this team. But, yeah, I mean, you need a more all-around concerted effort and, you know, 8 rebounds from Embiid, not going to cut it. And 9 rebounds led the team, and that was Tobias Harris. It was probably one of the few things he did right. But 9 rebounds compared to what the Knicks had, where they had Josh Hart getting 13 rebounds and scoring 22 points and going absolutely nuclear from three. You know, you had Mitchell Robinson coming off the bench and getting you 12 rebounds. You had Hartenstein get you 7. Jalen Brunson got you 7 rebounds. Bogdanovich got you 7 rebounds. Like, it was an all-around concerted effort to get those second chance points from the Knicks, and that's why they end up winning. Knicks fans might be the most delusional fans on earth, though.
Yes. All right, now we can have a conversation.
Did you see after this game they were outside Madison Square Garden parading like they just won the NBA Finals?
Yeah, dude, do you remember when they beat the Celtics in game one?
They were chanting NBA after this game, we want Boston.
I did hear that. Patty
Pitts, let me tell you something here.
You don't want Boston.
No, not even that. Either of these teams, whoever goes on to win this series, you're not seeing the Boston Celtics unless you get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Oh, okay.
With how the bracket lines up.
Oh, okay.
Like, cool. Celtics are playing the 8 seed, and then they get the winner of 4v5.
Yeah. No, that's literally how
you're not seeing the Celtics, no matter what, unless you get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, it's a delusional type of stupid. It's really, like, funny to watch.
So dumb. Like, why are, like, you can agree with, I know you have, like, some disdain for certain Philly sports teams and such, but
yeah, fuck the
Flyers. You've grown to love a lot of the teams or guys on these teams.
It's called sympathy, yes.
And you can even agree with me that you would never see Philadelphia doing this.
I disagree. I think you would see.
We would never go out and parade outside of our stadium after game one the way that Knicks fans were doing. Yes, like, we would. Just won the. No, we would not. I can, from experience, tell you we would not do that. Outside of Madison Square Garden, you would have thought somebody just won a championship the way that it was people flooding the streets. We would not flood the streets of Philadelphia unless we were going to a championship or just won a championship. That's the only time you would see the entire streets flooded. Like,
I would say it wouldn't be after game one, but if you guys won the series. And
not even then.
Yes, you would. Don't.
No, no. Yes, I'm not lying to you. I'm being completely honest with you. Philadelphia would not do what the Knicks fans did unless they won the Eastern Conference, especially with the Sixers, unless they won the Eastern Conference Finals.
I would say
because this team has not gotten past the second round since 2001, we have just come to the expectation that it just doesn't happen for us. So until they win the Eastern Conference, we're not going out in the streets. And from experience with the Phillies, we're not going out in the streets unless we are going to the World Series, unless we're going to the NLCS. Like, that's when you know, like, you're going to fight for a championship. Let's go celebrate this. Same thing with the Eagles. We're not going out in the streets unless we win the NFC championship game.
I'm just saying, when it comes to We Want Boston, if you guys won a series and
those,
you were playing Boston
those fans,
the next round.
Those are the drunkards in Philadelphia, as I like to
call
them.
What happened?
They do not speak for the masses. Those Knicks fans that were out parading in the street, those are 95% of Knicks fans.
Bing bong.
Like, fuck their lives.
That's so funny. I love idiot fans who,
like, absolute morons.
I just hate New York fans. I really do.
Knicks fans are so delusional. They're so stupid because they just don't understand how the playoffs work because they're never there.
That is true. You don't know. If they're not there, they don't know how.
I need the Sixers to this series might kill a lot of Sixers fans.
It might.
Myself included.
It might. It really might. This is gonna put you guys through the ringer because the Knicks are a decent team this year.
Like, they're decent, but they're beatable. They're so beatable.
Oh, they're beatable.
You just have to be gritty and physical with them. Because that's what they do. And they're gonna run out of gas because Tom Thibodeau runs his teams into the ground during the regular season. And that's all you got. Mm-hmm. Like, this game was so winnable for the Sixers. And it's a shame that they didn't win it. Mm-hmm. They were up by 6 points in the third quarter. Like, that's a winnable game that you need to take advantage of on the road. And now you got to go steal game two.
Exactly.
Get home court advantage back. Well, not back, but earn home court advantage by stealing game two. And then take care of business at the Wells Fargo Center.
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
But yeah, unfortunate. Hopefully Joel's going to be okay, but just need to be a lot more tough, you know, throughout this series. And I genuinely think the Sixers can win, and you can't win in six if you don't lose one.
This is true. This is true.
And I genuinely think, like, throughout this game too, the Sixers would have lost this game by like 25 points if Doc Rivers was the coach. It's crazy how coaching really can change the pace of a team when the playoffs come around with the NBA.
Oh, it absolutely
Nick
does.
Nurse is such a fucking awesome coach. Mm-hmm. And, like, had this team, like, in the game for 90% of it. And Doc Rivers would have folded.
He would have.
He's such a loser. Did you see the get-in price for the Pacers-Bucks game tonight?
No.
In Milwaukee, $37.
Are you kidding me?
For a playoff game.
I would have went immediately.
It's insane. But yeah, Sixers-Knicks game two is... When is game two?
Tuesday?
Monday. Monday, 7:30 in New York, and then game three on Thursday in Philly. So we'll have game three and the NFL draft going on Thursday. Oh, they want to kill me. They want to kill me, Pat.
I think they're trying.
They're trying to massacre my boy.
my boy, look what they did to my boy.
But yeah, speaking of the NFL draft, it is brought to you by our pals over at Tomahawk Shades, the best small batch eyewear in the game. From sunglasses to blue light glasses to those awesome prescription lenses, Tomahawk Shades is the best small batch eyewear for a fraction of the price of the big eyewear companies. Unbelievable quality. It feels great on your face. Your eyes will thank you. Because when you're outside, you're protecting your eyes from that harsh sunlight. When you're inside, like myself and Pat, doing a bunch of editing, watching a bunch of things on our TV screens, using your phone as much as we do to get content out to the people, your eyeballs start to hurt. And it's because of those blue light rays that are coming out of your screens. Tomahawk Shades Blue Light Plus glasses have you covered and protected to make sure your eyes are in pristine top condition. Go to tomahawkshades.com or download the Tomahawk Shades app in the App Store or Google Play Store. And when you go to checkout, use code USP for 25% off your order from our pals at Tomahawk Shades. They've been unbelievable with us. We're trying to do some more things with them in the near future. They're getting ready to launch an entire golf line, which is going to be absolutely sick.
Insane.
So go to tomahawkshades.com or download the Tomahawk Shades app and use code USP for 25% off your order. Plus, Pitsy, you know one of the owners of Tomahawk Shades?
Mm-hmm.
It's a former lacrosse player, Chris Hogan.
I do remember this. Yes. I remember that.
So shout out to Tomahawk Shades. They're the best. Pitts, you and I, being big NFL guys, when the NFL is in season, the NFL draft snuck up on me. Like, we were talking before we started recording. It was like, holy shit, the draft is on Thursday.
Yeah, dude. I've been so swamped with wrestling, WrestleMania, obviously, and then the actual job of giving the finest fish of all of Massachusetts to the greatest restaurants in Boston. You get kind of lost in your own world. And then, you know, there hasn't really been a lot of talk leading into the draft. You know, all of for the past few weeks, I mean, especially on the Pats front, because it's really just, all right, what are we doing with the three pick? You can only ask that question so many times. And for you guys, at least, like, you're not in a position where the draft is going to make or break your season. It's more like, let's add a little bit more fluff or a little bit more to the team. You know, it's more, it's not as dependent. So for us, it's just we got other shit going on, and then it pops up, and it's like, oh, God, we're flying through this year.
I think this year in particular for the Eagles, it's going to be imperative that their pick, wherever they end up picking, whether they stay put or move up, is, you know, a contributor right away this season, because I think they're going defense, if I had to put a guess on it, in the first round, more specifically corner. They need somebody that's going to contribute in a big way this year. Right now, Tankathon has them taking Clemson corner Nate Wiggins, which, like, if you guys know me, I don't know diddly squat about college football. I pay attention to the most limited amounts because where Pitsy and I grew up, because Pitsy's in the same boat as me, college football really doesn't, like, get traction here. Like, Pitts has Boston College, but even them, they're not, like, a powerhouse team.
Dude, we make fun of Boston College for how bad they are.
I have Rutgers here, which obviously I pay attention to my Vineland guys that end up going to Rutgers, but I'm not, like, locked in do or die like I am with the Eagles. Mm-hmm. But I pay attention to draft season, seeing, like, the names thrown around to the Eagles. There's an edge rusher from Penn State, though, Pitts, that right now Tankathon has mock to go to Tampa Bay. His name is Chop Robinson.
That is straight out of backyard sports. That's incredible.
And right after that, it's a mock trade between the Cardinals and it might be the Cardinals got that pick from the Texans from last year's trade that they did, taking my favorite player in this draft, Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Kool-Aid, yeah, dude. That man is too sweet.
He's the best. Get it?
Because
I love Kool-Aid.
Sugar.
Sugar. How excited or not excited are you for Drake May to be the next starting quarterback of the New England Patriots?
I'll come to Vineland and slap the shit out of you for saying that.
That's who Tankathon has projected to go.
That's that's gross. Okay. I want Jaden Daniels, or so help me God, just get Marvin Harrison Jr. and I'll entertain the idea that Tom Brady is returning to the Patriots. Like, I can't have Drake May as my quarterback. That is too much Mitch Trubisky. I don't need my quarterback kissing titties on Sundays. I need him throwing touchdowns. You know what I mean?
I don't know what's funnier, the Patriots drafting Drake May or the Giants drafting J.J. McCarthy, because that feels like what the Giants are going to do. And I know DJ is going to kill me if he hears me say this. J.J. McCarthy is just another Daniel Jones in the NFL.
I mean, I wouldn't go
like Daniel Jones, they do the same things.
I mean, I just don't think J.J. McCarthy is the answer.
No. And it's going to be,
I wouldn't compare him, but he's not the answer.
Immaculate when the Giants draft him as like the savior, and he is just Daniel Jones 2.0.
Oh, can you imagine when that happens and Steve's on stream with us?
Oh, I can't wait.
I can't wait to find the world's smallest.
Steve and DJ. DJ's going to cry when JJ goes to the Giants.
Dude, and you and I just
cackling like the hyenas from The Lion King.
Oh my God. Be prepared for that. I can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be an interesting draft. I feel like this draft in particular, like, it's not the craziest, like, elite superstar draft. Like, Marvin Harrison Jr., in my opinion, is the best player in the draft. And I'm not just saying that because he's from the Philadelphia area. Like, that dude's a fucking unbelievable.
No. That's
incredible. But like, I feel like there's a couple like superstars, but it's not like years past where like there's like a lot of blue chip players that move the needle. Like, even this quarterback class, like, I feel like is not as
great mid. As
years past. Yeah,
no, it's very mid this quarterback class, which makes it even more of a problem that the Patriots have to rely on their future in it. Like, that's
the worst year to get bad.
The worst year to have your draft rely on a quarterback. It's, I'm just not a fan of it. I want Jaden Daniels because he's, I think, the best fit for this new age Patriots team with Jerod Mayo as coach. But other than that, like, I'm just not excited for this draft at all. I'm not.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just excited for the Eagles to get another like elite player to add to the roster of elite players already. I think, you know, you look at the offense right now, Devontae gets extended, which is huge. Signed through 2028. And Chad Ochocinco has been talking about how he's been in the weight room and he's up to 190 pounds right now. So that's like huge. The Eagles offense is going to be elite. It's the defense that just needs like some pieces added. I think Howie will do. And you know what he's not going to do is trade AJ Brown.
Yeah, no, you want to talk about that?
You fucking clowns.
All right, as a Patriots fan here, okay, and I would say, Kyle, you can attest to this. The most rational Patriots fan you have ever talked to.
Sure.
Yes, it is. It's true. Shut the fuck up. But point is, when it comes to the AJ Brown stuff, I laugh because I know exactly what's going on and that it's never going to happen. Only in a nonsense galaxy could it happen. Where I'm just with the popcorn, watching it all unfold, you freaking out. And, you know, the idiots in my camp that are like, AJ Brown to the Patriots. I'm like, are you guys like really that dumb? Like,
and then I get the absolute incels that work certain shows at the sports station here in Philadelphia putting out polls. Would you trade AJ Brown for the Patriots number first round draft pick this year? Shut the fuck up. I literally like quote tweeted it with the Mr. Incredible shut the fuck up, just shut the fuck up meme.
We did. I liked it
because like goddamn, just shut the fuck up. Like, AJ Brown's not going anywhere, So if you missed it, you live under a rock, you're not on Twitter. AJ Brown changed his profile picture on Twitter to a picture of Tom Brady. I forget what Super Bowl it was, but Brady had a Super Bowl patch on his jersey.
It was the game, the season opener after they won the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah.
AJ Brown grew up a Patriots fan. How, why, I don't know. I don't care. You're a fan of your team. Like, Devontae Smith is somehow a Celtics fan. Whatever. AJ Brown changed his picture to Tom Brady. And people lost their fucking minds over a profile picture change. Like, what are we doing? What the fuck are we doing? To which AJ Brown tweeted out, Tom Brady was my favorite player growing up. He's the greatest player to ever touch a football, and I want to be on that level. That's what I'm aspiring to be. I'm trying to be the best at my position, trying to be the best at my craft. I didn't think changing my profile picture would cause such a stir, blah, blah, blah. The way I just want to, like, wrap my arms around AJ Brown and just give him the biggest hug, because that motherfucker grinds his fucking ass off every single offseason, even when he was with the Titans to now with the Eagles. Like, he is truly dedicated to being the best of the best at his position and just overall on the field, and wants to win a championship so goddamn bad. And every little thing he does gets, like, put under a microscope for no fucking reason by the absolute morons who are the flagship station of the Philadelphia Eagles, to which he called into the show months ago and called them the fuck out. And now we want to micromanage and microanalyze him changing his goddamn profile picture and start swirling up fake trade bullshit. That is exactly what AJ Brown was talking about when he called you out on your own station. Like, what the fuck are we doing?
I know.
It's like, bad. Are we that bored in Philadelphia? Like, are we that bored? Like, we're doing all of this. I haven't even touched the Jalen Hurts stuff yet. We're doing all of this. Meanwhile, we have the Sixers in the playoffs. The Phillies are one of the hottest teams in baseball. And we're worried about a profile picture.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then we have a poll come out worrying about, are we sick of Jalen Hurts' demeanor? His demeanor, Pat. We're worried about Jalen Hurts' demeanor in April.
I don't know.
What the fuck are we doing at WIP?
I don't know.
You know what I like about Jalen Hurts' demeanor is that he's taking more initiative than the Philadelphia public school system and the board of education there and the city in general, and donating $20,000 worth of air conditioners to schools that need it, because the schools open in August, close in June. But for those months, it's so goddamn hot because there's no air conditioning in the buildings that schools get canceled or it's half days, and it's putting more burden on the kids, the teachers, who nobody gives a fuck about, because it's crazy how we down the food chain we put teachers and how down the food chain we put students that are in school. And then it burdens the parents, and the parents want to take it out on the teachers when it's not their fault.
Not at all.
But we have Jalen Hurts donating $20,000 worth of air conditioners, but we're worried about his fucking demeanor. Yeah, me a fucking break. Jalen Hurts is a goddamn hero for that shit. Somebody who went to a public school, and I love my high school, love it to death. Like, it's why I work there, and I'm the voice of their sports teams. When I was in high school, in my building, I did not have air conditioning all 4 years of high school. In my high school. It was just because the building was so old, the infrastructure to get it throughout the entire building, it was a whole workaround that had to be budgeted for years down the line. It now has air conditioning, which is great for the current students, great for the teachers, great for the staff, everybody there. But, like, as somebody who has experienced that, it fucking sucks. Like, you don't want to be there. It's tough for the teachers because they know you don't want to be there because it's so hot. You can't focus.
No, you can't focus.
And Jalen Hurts just came through and donated $20,000 worth of air conditioning to these Philadelphia public schools that need it. And that's fucking awesome. And that's my quarterback. Not only is he performing on the field, he's doing stuff off the field that's changing the city And like, that's somebody who just gets it. Like, we, like, there's different levels of getting it in the city of Philadelphia. Like, Bryce Harper gets it. Like, he understands the fans. He understands the city. He gets it from that perspective. But then you can also take it a step forward, which Bryce has done with charitable work with the Phillies. But then you can take it a step further, like Jalen Hurts just did, and change the lives of so many young kids and change the lives of so many underpaid teachers and educators who are the future of this fucking country by just making one thing that much easier for them. And that's what's awesome about Jalen Hurts. As somebody who is in his mid-20s, recognizing, hey, the city that I'm calling home now needs help. I'm going to go out and be the change to make that help happen. That's fucking awesome, and I commend Jalen Hurts through and through for doing that. It's one of the coolest things I've seen an athlete do in this city, and like in general, because it's such a thankless thing that, you know, it'll get a news article in the local paper. It'll get the hubbub about the on the Twitter aggregators for a day. But that is going to change the lives of so many people and so many kids for decades in those Philadelphia public schools because of a thankless donation from Jalen Hurts.
That's my captain. That's a good guy. He's incredible. I have no other words. I have no words.
Like, that's what you want from...
That's 1,000% what you want. Yeah.
People representing your city. And Jalen Hurts is incredible, and I'm so thankful he's the quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles.
I have nothing else to add because that was beautiful. That was nice.
Clip that. Nice to see that.
Clip it.
We'll be live on Thursday for the NFL draft, obviously. What do you think the biggest move on draft night's going to be? Just in general in the league, like trade-wise. Like, we see those crazy trades that happened. Obviously, AJ Brown happened when we were live.
I think the Vikings could do some sneaky
That's
shit.
That's what it's feeling like.
The Vikings could do some sneaky shit. The Bears, I think, are going to do... They're not going to do something crazy, but they're going to do something at least. And then my real nonsense type of pick, maybe the Texans, you know, make a big move or something. They trade
back into the first round.
Yeah, like something like that. But I think it's the Vikings are gonna finally do something.
I think it's the Vikings or the Chargers.
Dude, who's their quarterback right now?
Vikings, Sam Darnold.
Yeah, bro. The Vikings need to do something very quick because
I also think
on a hill.
Sneaky, no pun intended, dark horse, the Broncos.
Broncos could, but I died on the hill of Sam Darnold being good once, and my body is still there. I'm hoping someone pushes it off, and I can't anymore. I can't.
The Vikings pick at 11, so they could definitely make some crazy moves. I know there's a ton of rumors about them.
The Raiders are a team. I don't know. Antonio Pierce is getting me hyped for the Raiders this year, man.
The other crazy part about this draft is for the first time since 2016 when they picked number one overall, the Los Angeles Rams have a first-round pick this year.
No way.
The first time since they drafted Jared Goff.
Wow, we're really in a new era. What pick is it?
They picked 19th.
That's a pretty good first round pick too.
Pick 19th.
Okay. All right.
But it is their first round pick since drafting Jared Goff number one overall because of the trades that they had to make to get Goff and all the picks that they sent to who was it at the time. I forget who had the number one overall pick. But the moves that they've made over the years, they haven't had a first round pick since 2016.
That's insane. That's insane.
Eagles pick 22nd. So we'll see. It's going to be an interesting draft. I'm very intrigued to see what happens. But we will be live on Thursday night for round one, as we always are. It's our annual draft live stream with the boys. Mm-hmm. And one other couple quick notes. The Philadelphia Union still undefeated. Insane. Last undefeated team in MLS. They've got wins and draws, but no losses. And that's what we like to see from the boys. And then the Philadelphia Wings. We'll talk more about this, obviously, in depth on OTB this coming week. But the Philadelphia Wings are on the clock. They have the number one overall pick in the 2024 NLL draft, which means, Pitsy, we're going to get the number one pick on the show.
Oh, let's go.
Because obviously our connection with the Wings, like, it'll be an easy text, phone call, boom, bada bing. I'm going to try to get them on this show, get them on OTB, obviously. But the Wings have the number one overall pick thanks to a trade that they made at the trade deadline with the New York Riptide. Sent Taggart Clark to the New York Riptide and got a draft pick back from the Riptide that the Riptide acquired from the Colorado Mammoth. That was the Mammoth's first round pick in this year's draft. And the Mammoth finished in dead last this year, which was not on anybody's radar because this is the first time the Mammoth have missed the playoffs since I have covered the league. And the first time, I think since like 2009 that they've missed the playoffs. Like, they have been perennially a very, very good team. They won the title 2 years ago. They've been in two straight championship games. And they finished in dead last this year. And the Philadelphia Wings have their pick. And they will be drafting number one overall in the 2024 NLL draft. And I am stoked that, like, we get the opportunity to cover a team in this city that has the number one pick in a draft.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Do we know who, any inkling who it's going
to
be?
So, according to Teddy Jenner, who covers the NLL in a fantastic fashion, we're trying to get him on OTB very, very soon, which will be a blast of a time. He has been super supportive of us from day one on OTB. But Teddy Jenner quote tweeted the Wings post saying that they are officially on the clock, saying the projected top four are Mike Grace, Sam English, Brennan O'Neill, and Luca Anton Giovanni. I think right now, just based on Googling them, obviously I am a huge Brennan O'Neill guy. He is an unbelievable talent. He's probably going to be the number one overall pick in the PLL draft in May. For context, Pitts, he was playing on Team USA in Worlds last summer.
Oh, wow.
As a junior in college.
Oh.
He's a senior this year at Duke. But was the only collegiate player on Team USA. Everyone else was a pro in the PLL.
That's insane. Okay, this dude,
he's balls. Extremely talented. He's 6'2", 250 pounds.
Jeez.
He's a That's monster.
A That's a beast.
The only question mark I think a lot of people have with Brennan O'Neill is he going to play NLL? That's the biggest thing. But right now, just based on Googling them, I think I'm all in on Mike Grace. He is a behemoth of a defenseman, and it is something that the Philadelphia Wings need desperately, is like a franchise cornerstone defenseman. He goes to RIT, Rochester Institute of Technology, senior, 6'5", just a monster. He's from Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. I just on look and size alone, he's my initial, I want this guy.
Oh, yeah. Big dude. Want him on your team. Like, I can see that.
Just an absolute
beast. Bring the power.
Like, gets ground balls. And obviously, looking at his college stats, it's the field game. But it's going to translate very well to, the box game. And he plays summer box with the Burlington Chiefs Junior A team in Canada in the summers. So,
all right,
I'm all in on him right now. That could change, obviously. You know, the NLL draft's not until later on this year, but right now, Mike Grace is my initial pre-pick that I want for the Wings. 6'5" defenseman just screams everything I've been clamoring for this team for the last 6 years.
All right, we're on the Mike Grace train. I'm for it.
He is our saving grace, if you will.
Amazing grace.
How saved by grace.
The sound.
But yeah, it's going to be an interesting NLL draft. We're going to dive into it very deeply as the NLL playoffs get started very, very soon. I think next week they get going.
We got the WWE draft on Friday. I mean, it's just drafting season.
Cody Rhodes, where's Philly's Finest going?
Philly's Finest is ending up on SmackDown because he is the undisputed WWE champion.
We'll end with this because it's just fascinating to hear you spit bars about wrestling. Explain to me like this entire like draft and like how this works and like why guys end up certain places.
Okay, so the WWE draft is very different from other drafts because all it really is just a shakeup of superstars. It's for wrestlers who are on a show that they just don't find themselves in the best position on the roster to be in a championship match or be in a good storyline, whatever. So they switch them up and go to another show. Now you have NXT, which is the old brand, and you have older guys that maybe not getting TV time. They can go down to NXT, get TV time, and also help build up and put over younger talent. And the draft is so much fun because you just never know what's going to happen. Like the number one overall pick is not Cody Rhodes. You know, it's not that type of draft. The number one overall pick could be a guy like, honestly, Logan Paul, like deadass. Like it's a guy like that who you just throw him to a new show, give him some new scenery. Cause what he's doing on the show right now, SmackDown, is kind of stale. So then it, you know, freshens up his character. That's what the draft's really all about. And that's what makes it a lot more exciting. Is because it's not about, oh, they're, it's going to make the show that much better. It's no, it's better for them to do better, not only on the show, but for them, for their career.
Interesting. Very interesting.
It's the draft. It's so fun because it's not like a standard draft. It's more just this guy fits this show because he'd be a good champion here. He would do great work with this guy, or he's been rivaling with someone on the show he's on for ungodly amount of months. Let's get him off and do some new and separate the two. Like it's that type of mentality.
Good to know. Not that I watch wrestling, but
no, but you got to know it's at the point where professional wrestling is at probably its hottest that it's been since the early 2000s.
How soon do you think WrestleMania is back in Philly? Cause I've seen the rumors that they're talking about bring it back.
It could be close. I think Vegas is going to be the host of it this year. But also the cold weather did not help them or their chances for bringing it back, because after that night one fiasco of it being 45 degrees and no one could cheer, you saw my outfit. I was so underprepared.
That's April, baby.
Yeah, it was, and I bought this sweatshirt that I'm wearing right now to try to help.
Well, I saw your tweet totally made sense about moving it to May.
Oh, dude, people are freaking out. I'm like, why are we freaking out? Because the Royal Rumble is already in January, and then February and March is always that weird lull period where you just need a pay-per-view to finalize the details leading up to the show, and then the pay-per-view is so massive, as you saw, that it needs that month of build-up. So why not just give it April? You need a month in wrestling where there is no pay-per-view.
Well, it made sense to me too, where it doesn't overlap like it did this year with the Final Four and the National Championship game.
Yeah, you got to think like that. Wrestling fans don't think like that because it's wrestling only. But when you have a person like myself who knows ball and knows all other things, not only just in sports media, but in media in general, you know how things work. And it's like, okay, that makes more sense business-wise. A lot of wrestling fans don't think business-wise. They think story-wise and, you know, passion-wise. They don't think of the dollars and cents, and the dollars and cents lead more into having it in May. You can do a way more build-up and, honestly, advertisement like May Mania. You can do shit like that where
WrestleMania.
There you go. Like, it's marketability.
It's right there. It's right there. Right,
that's what I'm saying. Like, it's right there. It's marketability.
Lead you into Memorial Day. You're feeling good about the summer.
Exactly.
WrestleMania.
You have to think like that. You have to think like that, and fans don't do that.
So yeah, we'll keep things pushing. We'll be back on Wednesday, obviously, preparing for the draft. Talking more Phils. Hopefully they've won a bunch of games against Cincinnati by the time we record next. Hopefully the Sixers even things up on Monday against the Knicks. And we keep it pushing. But until then, make sure you guys are following us on the socials on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Threads at UndergroundPHI, Facebook.com/UndergroundSportsPHI, Twitch.tv/UndergroundSportsPHI, and follow us on LinkedIn. It's linked in the description. Follow Pitsy on Twitter at Pat_Pitts and at Pitsy35 on Instagram and Threads. Follow me at KBIZZL311 and KBIZZLE11 on Instagram and Threads. Subscribe to the podcast feed, Apple and Spotify. Leave a 5-star rating and review. It really does help when you guys subscribe. We can see the numbers. It really boosts. So keep subscribing. Let's get on those charts in the US and globally. But keep subscribing on Apple and Spotify, and keep subscribing to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel, youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. Let's get to 800 subscribers before the end of April. Let's make that happen. I think it's so doable. Smash that like button, ring the bell icon, comment down below your favorite cereal, mascot, and of course, the YouTube channel is where you get full video episodes of this show twice a week, full video episodes of every show on our network, clips, shorts, live streams, you name it, it's on our YouTube channel. So keep subscribing, youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. Get your merch at phiapparel.co. Use code UNDERGROUND for 10% off your merch orders. And this show is presented by the City of Vineland. Whether you're a company looking to expand, relocate, or you're a new business startup, selecting the right location is critical to your success. Vineland, New Jersey offers both an affordable business location and an excellent quality of life. The city's economic development department is a one-stop source for moving your project through the development and approval process, and their goal is to make this process as smooth as possible and to provide the fastest turnaround times in the region. If you're considering potential locations for your operation, contact the Vineland Economic Development Team at 856-794-4100. That's 856-794-4100. Vineland, New Jersey, where it's always growing season. A big thank you to Security 21 Security Systems and Paul J. Gillespie Incorporated for their continued support of this podcast. It's been episode number 631 of Underground Sports Philadelphia. For Patty Pitts, I'm KB. We'll catch you guys on Wednesday, get you ready for the draft, hopefully talk some successes for the Sixers and the Phils and the Union. But until then, we're getting the heck up out of here. We are signing off. Peace. I'm looking for the people's chair.